Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, as we continue our look at the prophets of the Old Testament, today we look at the prophet Amos. Amos was just an ordinary guy from the south who was captured and consumed by God's passion for justice. God sent him north to call God's people to attention. Now, in the 8th century before Christ, the land of Israel was divided into two kingdoms: Judah in the south, ruled by King Uzziah, and Israel in the north, ruled by King Jeroboam. Amos was not a professional or institutional prophet. He was a simple Judean herdsman and dresser of sycamore trees, and I get the feeling he would just as soon have stayed home in Tekoa, tending to business. But God sent him on a divine errand to proclaim judgment on the people of Israel for their hypocrisy and oppression of the poor. Now, Israel in the time of King Jeroboam was at the peak of its material power and prosperity. The upper classes were living opulently. Church services were going on as usual. Religious feasts and celebration took place right on schedule. But the people could hardly wait for the Sabbath to end so they could go back to their commerce, cheating the poor, charging exorbitant interest, even taking the shoes of the poor as collateral for loans. Amos calls, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live." But the people did not listen. They underestimated the power of God and the anger of the God who called for justice to roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Old Testament scholar Donald Gowan writes, "The book of Amos does not specify reform, but of the end of normal life on the land, not of a better life for the people, but of a time when all will be reduced to despair. Its words of judgment should not be carelessly reapplied to new situations, for seldom is the future as dark for a given people as it was for 8th century Israel." That does not mean we should not be impressed by Amos's claim that oppression of the weak and poor by the rich and powerful stands under the judgment of God. That is part of the message of Scripture for every age, but seldom has it been expressed with the impact of the book of Amos. In chapter 7, God gives Amos a vision which can be a tool for us and for all generations. And the Lord said to me, "Amos, what do you see?" And I said, "A plumb line." Then the Lord said, "See, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel that will never again pass them by." In other words, let them off the hook. "The highest places, or the pagan altars of Isaac, shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." Living on the plumb line is about integrity. God's people were measured by the plumb line of justice and found to be slanting. Israel had lost its last opportunity to repent, to reverse the oppression of the poor. Destruction of the sinful would be so awful that even the innocent would be caught up in it. Now, we don't know how aware Amos was of the political realities of his time, but in hindsight, we know that Assyria was growing from a modest to a huge power. Within 20 to 30 years, the whole of the northern kingdom was destroyed by Assyria and its people taken into exile, never to be heard from again. Throughout my years in business, I witnessed several once great companies, such as Drexel, Burnham, Lambert, or Lehman Brothers, or even Enron, collapse because of lies and deceit of their executives, costing trusting employees and investors significant life savings. Throughout the investigations, the executives continually denied wrongdoing. Their lives were severely askew, out of plumb, you could say. And the corporations and many lives came crashing down into a heap of rubble. Amos's call for social justice is a call for people of faith in all times. God is far more interested in the way people live their everyday lives than in their religious practices and rituals. What God wants from us isn't some thing or thousands of things. It's not showing up in worship now and then, going through the outward motions, paying our dues as if church were a country club. Instead, what God wants of us is our hearts, our love and faithfulness that lead to a certain way of living. By heeding Amos's contemporary, Micah, who says that the essence of living the life God intends for us is to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. By doing so, we lead lives worthy of the gospel we are called to proclaim. Now, none of us does this perfectly well, but the hope for us is that God judges righteousness and is also merciful. I am grateful for God's mercy, but I'm still uncomfortable. A few years ago, there was an HBO movie called Fever, which tells the story of a reasonably well-to-do woman who travels to a third world country and is confronted with the dichotomy between her nice life and the life she sees around her. She's not extravagant. She's not evil. She's not selfish. She is simply caught up, as many of us are, in a consumer society. My trip to India with my son 20 years ago to visit the churches, schools, and hospitals started by my missionary ancestors tripped that latch on my awareness of the dichotomy between my nice life and the life of the poor and oppressed all around me. I truly didn't know what to do with what I had seen. However, I do believe that experience led me to be one of your pastors today. And I do believe that for some reason God has called me to stay in Tekoa to preach and serve the faithful, to teach to others through education the awareness that is dawning on me. What is God's call to you? How are you to work for justice? How are you to speak truth to power as Amos did? Even if the king's prophet, like Amaziah, tells you to go away. The sycamore trees did not prepare Amos for his calling. Only God can do that. Our responsibility is to listen carefully and responsibly to what God is saying, recognizing God's preference for the poor and dedicating whatever gifts and abilities we have to bring justice to the oppressed. Week after week from this pulpit, we speak a great deal about the grace of God and how much God loves us, cares for us, and has given to us. The prophets Amos and Micah speak of what God asks of us in response. And what does it mean for us as a church to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God? Maybe it means volunteering and serving in this community in the ways many of you already are. And maybe it means finding new ways that we can serve together as a church in this community. The good news that gives us hope is that Jesus came to redeem and transform what has become twisted and distorted in our lives and our world. By the grace of God, change can and does happen in societies and in people's lives, if we're open and listening, God will show us where we need to go, take us there, and do this work in and through us. It is the work of love. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. The Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people. Seek good and not evil, and let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord. I now close with a Franciscan blessing. Please pray with me. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart and within the heart of God. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. And the blessing of God, the supreme majesty and our Creator, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, who is our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our advocate and guide, be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.